For August the 9th, 2013, we talk about the possible Source 2 leak, Prison Architect, and we take your questions. Welcome to the 30th level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level, and this is Level 30. If this episode was a person, it really wouldn't have any reason to live anymore.
It would be shopping for convertibles.
Yes, it would. Yep.
My neighbor just brought home a Porsche 911, and I was like, he's right at that age. Oh. I was like, you go, dude.
He didn't forget. Yeah, I don't feel good about that.
To-do list before he dies.
Yeah. I don't feel good about that one. Let's just move along. So anyway, I need to close Facebook, even though that's going to be open for later. Sorry. No. Just like I hate how I can sit on Facebook and like not do anything, and the screen just moves.
That's also like
stuff just keeps filling. Yeah. I don't need you to draw attention to my mental deficiencies. No, but just like things should be tied to my actions, damn it.
Twitter forces you to click to bring up new tweets, yeah. If I'm right. Yeah. I look at it on an actual computer once every eon, but
yeah.
At least that requires some sort of participation.
Hmm. Man, so I'm just looking at that because a little bit later we have a multiplayer segment, which is free play. Woo-hoo. Because I forgot to put out a question. So, before that, we're going to do a little bit of gaming news and then do the grind. I forgot our euphemisms for these things. So does anybody have a brief that they would like to offer? I would remind you that the brief is where we talk about things that are happening in this world that are related to video games.
It's where we try and make things brief and then fail.
So I think that there's a little bit of confusion about the etymology of brief on this. Okay. I'm like with this, I'm referring to, it's like the mission briefing. It's like, okay, here's what do you need to know as you're going forward in the world? So brief, it has like a double entendre kind of feel to it. But I think that every time we ramble and you point out that like, oh, this is the brief. isn't it funny that it's long? I just have to disagree with your disagreements.
Part of my confusion, but on the last podcast, was this not called Quick Hits?
On the previous one, yes, it was called Quick Hits, and they weren't very quick there either.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So Cole, if I understand right, you're saying you want us to go longer on this and give you more to edit down. Is that the right vibe I'm getting from you?
That's what I'm hearing.
I don't edit except when Ben uses his racial epithets, and then I marker it and then go in. It's not. I'm not cutting out every breath or or much to people's consternation.
Funny. When you reposted the Heavy Rain podcast, mm-hmm. I went back and listened to it. That one has a lot more tender, loving care given to the editing.
Well,
or a lot more, I guess, a hands on approach. I would say.
Yeah, you can over.
I was gonna say Cole lost more hair on that podcast than the other.
Yeah, no. Just it takes a while to learn not to over edit. You can fuss around and take out every breath, and you get a worse product. Because it sounds artificial.
Yep.
Including long digressions at the beginning of a news segment. Yeah. So, you both sent over articles. I am going to... let's start with the Valve thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben, go ahead, hit us.
Yeah. So, two Reddit members from a Dota 2 subreddit got invited out to Valve to go and visit their facilities. And so they were allowed taking photographs while they were there.
Whoops.
Yep. And one of the photographs that they had, it was somebody's computer, and they had their Chrome tab open, and it had emails on it. And one of them says, in brackets, source 2, change L4D3's test networking unit test to the blah, 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 blah. So basically, they kind of found out that Left 4 Dead 3 is in the works on a Source 2 engine.
Yeah, I think the Left 4 Dead 3 will be cool. However, the Source 2 engine thing is really, really big.
Cooler?
Yeah, no, what, not cooler. Not cooler. I just think that it's going to be neat.
What is it on now?
Oh, it's just regular Source.
Okay, mm-hmm. And Source 2 is... Sorry, this is me not knowing my engines.
Yeah.
But what makes Source 2 different from Source 1, I guess?
Well, like, I feel like it's their next engine. So, like, play, like, Half-Life 1 and Half-Life 2.
Mm, okay.
And that jump... hopefully will be what the difference between Source and Source 2 is.
Yeah. Source is pretty long in the tooth. Like, they've made a lot of, like, modifications to it in mm-hmm. order to make it, you know, just a little bit more relevant today. Like, if you look at Portal 1 compared to Portal 2, or even more drastically, Half-Life 2 Episode 2 versus the original Half-Life 2, mm-hmm. I think it's really confusing. There are a lot of, like, bits and bobs added to it. And I think that if you're, you know, like, just the idea that they're going to be willing to version it up to Source 2, first off, Valve doesn't release anything lightly. The fact that they are going to be versioning it up just means that, this is going to be some, it feels like a weird, bad pun to say it, some next level shit.
Just amazed that they're going to put a 3 in one of their titles.
Yeah. People are going to shit bricks. like Valve can't do anything without having somebody say, "Where's my Half-Life 3?" Which I agree with the sentiment, but when Valve is like updating Steam, "Where's Half-Life 3?" When Valve is putting trading cards into Steam, "Where's my Half-Life 3?" When the actual objection to that is, "What is this fucking shit?" The weird thing about this, so I'm looking at this, their monitors are oriented vertically.
Yeah.
Should I start doing that?
No.
If you want to be cool.
Yeah, if I want to be like somebody at Valve.
You need multiple monitors to make that work.
Yeah.
That's how the artists have their computers at my work.
Oh.
No, so this is the Pokemon evolution of desk space here. So you start out sitting desk, horizontal monitor.
Okay.
Then you go to standing desk, horizontal monitor.
That's where I'm at.
Then you go to standing desk, vertical monitors.
Then you go to no desk, vertical monitors. Then you go to
monolith monitor.
Yes. No, it's just hanging there. And then you go to monitor, no desk, and then no office.
Then you go to, like, the Minority Report style, like use your hands through the air.
No, and then
connect type of deal.
And then after that, you know what? You flip the script, laying desk.
Ooh.
You slide into a drawer like a Japanese coffin hotel. It's like a morgue. Then you just
you have 6 monitors. Then you just turn to the one you want to work on.
Yeah. No, it's affixed to the ceiling above you. You are submerged in a saline bath that is at your body temperature, and they pipe in whale song.
Oh man.
So yeah.
Am I the only one who's thought about, man, lying in bed, I really just need a TV, like, on the ceiling, or like kind of on its side at waist level next to my bed for when I'm lying on my side?
I've never had too much trouble just like looking at a TV. The trick is to get it up high enough.
I don't have the verticality that I need, I guess.
Yeah, put it up on top of dresser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds. Oh no! In my first room, I did have it up on top of my closet thing. So
yeah.
There we go. That worked pretty well.
Looking at this here, so they're saying, so people are really going, like, doing forensics on this. So the L4D3 group contains 68 members, which would make it the third largest project at Valve.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard about the, even before this, they had leaked like a bunch of group names for their email. And that had some interesting stuff. There might have been Left 4 Dead 3. I can't remember that. But there was a Half-Life 3 group.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very inactive, had very few members.
Maybe they should send some emails that are like, "Hey, when should we release this?"
Yeah. Just have everyone on the internet lose their minds simultaneously.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh man, every time somebody replies all, instead of just hitting reply, they delay it a day.
Yeah.
It's like on the set of a movie where somebody's cell phone rings, they owe the crew a case of beer.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's a good find. I did not see any of that in my travails, Ben. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
I said no problem.
Ah, okay. I'll go ahead with mine. So Sony was pretty proud here recently to announce slash reveal slash give more details. I guess it had been announced. I will stop equivocating. To announce slash reveal EverQuest Next. We knew it was going to be a thing from a couple of years ago. I remember reporting on this on, I think, DTR back when we were on college radio. Something like that. It's been in the mix for a minute. But at SOE Live, Sony Online Entertainment Live 2013 in Las Vegas, they actually came out and revealed some details. So some things of note are that destructible terrain is going to factor in prominently because everything will be rendered with voxels, which my understanding is it's a fancy term for some kind of like not a 3D pixel, but like a 3D discrete unit of space object things in a computer. So think of Minecraft, right? Where each block is a voxel and it has different states and positions and blah blah blah. So it's not going to look like Minecraft. It looks like, you know, looks like a cartoonier version of EverQuest. It's very colorful, very saturated, which I like. Like wilderness areas, you can deform the terrain, and monsters can deform the terrain. There's like allusions to the idea that dungeons will just be buried under the ground, and you can just get at these dungeons and down into like the core of Norrath in order to fight the bigger bosses. They're taking steps to like limit it in important story areas, though, like cities and things, just because if you gave everybody access to destroy Kinos or whatever, it would just be a flaming hellscape within minutes.
So, I wonder if they're going to try to explain that within the game world.
Oh yeah, that there's some kind of it is protected by Aralisi Mar, the goddess of love. Look it up. Yeah. Some other notes. They're going to be long form, like public quests that like everybody can contribute to, called Rallying Cries, which I guess are going to be like content patches where it's just kind of like, okay, now this zone is, you know, open up and everybody's trying to achieve this goal. Additionally, kind of like City of Heroes, they're putting a little bit of an emphasis on people being able to make their own content with the EverQuest Next landmark. So I guess making your own dungeons and whatnot and placing, I guess, teleporters. They haven't talked an awful lot about it, but it's the same tools that the devs use. And the fact that everything is made up of voxels means that they will actually be able to make a little bit of sense of it. It's not like, hey, here's a free copy of Maya. Have at it.
Yeah. So one other thing that City of Heroes did that I really liked, that I don't know if anyone else has done, is to make it, I think they called it sidekicking, and I forget what the other way, but like basically if someone was kind of outside the level range for a quest, you could sidekick them and bring their stats up artificially for that one quest so they could still participate.
Right.
But then everything would be scaled so that, you know, they're still leveling at the rate they should be. Or, you know, if you were too high level for a quest, you could apprentice yourself down, or I forget what it was called, to make the quest challenging and still be able to play and help out.
Right, yeah. They actually did that in EverQuest with one of the expansions. I believe it was either Dragons of Norrath or Secrets of Faedwar, where they just kind of came out and said, like, okay, if you want to play with a lower level character, you can actually like reincarnate or temporarily inhabit a monster from the zone and fight alongside.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah. So just kind of as a way to reduce kind of like power leveling and twinking and everything like that.
Yeah, that always, you know, that struck me as a good thing. I don't know if it's just common practice now across all MMOs, but
you know what? I don't think that it is.
That was a great step in making things accessible.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, level differences are always a real bummer, especially if somebody plays more than the rest of the people that they would like to play with. And then, like, kind of like a last, like, weird little thing, they're going to be releasing an iOS and Android map app called EverQuest Worlds, which delivers, quote, quests and minigames that reveal lore, content, and rewards from the EverQuest franchise. So it sounds like just, like, a little side game, not too terribly interesting. I don't know.
So you will never have to not be playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that last comment before a reference to Borderlands 2?
Maybe. What, did Borderlands 2 have that?
No. I was talking about the, it sucks when people level up more than they're supposed to.
No. That's just something that happens to me in general because I am bad at playing things I'm going to play. So
it's all good.
Yeah.
I've got characters at like all different levels in Borderlands 2 if we ever want to revisit that, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, true. I guess I could talk about that in the end bosses, but I refactored the backlog. I'm excited about it. I'd be interested to know if there's going to be a Mac client, just for convenience's sake. I think that that'll be kind of cool. I have a warm place in my heart for EverQuest, just because that was one of my formative gaming experiences on the PC and also just kind of multiplayer gaming experiences in general.
Have they said anything about pricing structure yet?
No, they haven't. I think that they would be ridiculous to do a subscription model. Mm-hmm. I think that if this, it's got to be free to play or bust, because that is how people make money. Not even Warcraft can make money off of subscriptions now.
Yeah, agree.
I mean, that's not like they're not making money, but they're hemorrhaging subscribers. So, and even they went free to play for a certain extent. So I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of going bust and hemorrhaging subscribers,
let me tell you about my weekend.
Oh boy!
Was that a good segue? Did I segue? Did I make a good segue?
Yes, you segged.
Yay! So the Wii U first quarter financial results have come out, and they are. I want to say they're unsurprisingly low, but even this is surprisingly low. Basically just 160,000 sold for the entire world between April and June, with only 10,000 sold in Europe.
Yeah, that's abysmal.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And it's, you know, I think the Wii U meant to do its own thing. I think they were trying to be, they weren't expecting it to be Wii levels of success, but my gosh, this thing is basically not selling anything anymore. Yeah. So I don't know what you do with this console now. Like, I think this might, 25 years from now or whatever, people will be, oh man, I found a Wii U on the market and it's inbox quality for X thousand dollars. It's just going to be a footnote in console history.
I don't know if I'm ready to make that decree less than a year into the system's life cycle. You know, like the bigger problem is that you have a large number of publishers and developers that are just saying that the Wii U is not a priority for them.
Yeah.
And this puts Nintendo kind of back into the situation that they've always been in, which is they have to pay their own way in order to get people to want to buy their thing. And, mm-hmm. Like the quote unquote hardcore or whatever you want to call them, whatever they call themselves, are not going to be drawn to the Wii U because everybody has their eyes on, on the PS4 and the Xbox One, which that's not a surprising or novel statement, but it's mm-hmm. all just a way of saying that, like, if Nintendo, wants to get the dependable dollars back, the people who are not just kind of like waiting for a new Wii Fit or whatever, they got to get cranking on a new Zelda or a new something else, because this is the position that they don't thrive in, but like it has kept them along this far, which is you make this console, it serves the people that it needs to serve, and you just pimp the shit out of your handheld. The 3DS is doing much better at this point in its life cycle than the DS was doing at this point in its life cycle.
Yeah. That's probably what's going to keep Nintendo hanging on. Yeah. I guess I wonder how much you have to rely on these first-party people before the quality of those games starts to slide. Like, you can only have so much stake in Mario and only so much hype for Mario. before the quality of the product starts to go downhill.
Yeah. I think that this is going to be closer to the GameCube than most other things.
You know? Maybe that's it. Maybe Nintendo just skips a generation, and PS5 will be dominated by the Wii. No, I don't even know what they'll do with it next. The Wii Z. The Wii 360.
the Wii Z. The console that only plays games based on the Jeffersons.
Yeah. Nintendo has got a history, they're ingrained in gamer culture, so they're not going anywhere. But man, you think they could at least put up a fight, you know?
I think that they are. I mean, just it's not the right kind of fight. I'm going to be curious, you know, what happens at TGS, what happens over Gamescom or whatever. Just because as we get into this, you know, we're rounding out convention season or expo season, yeah, or whatever it is. Yeah, I don't know. The publisher's pulling support. Man, it'd be nice to have a reason to own one. I want to support I want to support this company, but
it's like me with the Vita.
Yeah. Blah.
Oh, saying which, there's going to be a $500 of the Vita and PS4.
They're going the wrong way.
Really?
There's going to be a $500 Vita?
No, no, a $500. It's a bundle of the Vita and the PS4.
I didn't mean to yell at. All you said was $500 in Vita, and it's like, no.
Yeah. Got to keep up with inflation.
Flip this podcasting table.
I think we've established that I am podcasting from a Japanese coffin filled with warm saline and whale sounds.
They're hell to get out in post. The whale sounds. But
there are electrodes that are hooked up directly to my audible nerve, or my auditory nerve, rather. My audible nerve is what supports other shows.
Womp womp.
No, it's not. That's not a bomb bomb. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Oh,
man, that is funny. So, any other comments about Nintendo?
Bummer.
Yeah, it is kind of a bummer.
See you next generation.
I don't know. They could still pull it out. They could still do something. I know that everybody joked about the name of this thing a year and a half ago. Just call it the Wii 2 or that new Wii. If they just called it that new Wii.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Call it. Hey, mom, your other Wii doesn't work anymore.
Yes,
sell millions.
Call it that new Wii to replace the one that doesn't work anymore, and you have literally sex on fire.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The grind.
Hey guys, it's time for the grind, where we talk about the games that we've been playing over the past week or so. Does anybody want to volunteer?
I will, because it's the one like huge game that I forgot to talk about last week.
Okay.
Which is The Last of Us.
Okay.
Which I don't think it's a surprise that I've been playing it, but I've now finished it. I'm not going to say a word about the single player, because I'm sure we will do a bonus level on that at some point. But is multiplayer a fair game?
Yeah. Just on a scale from 1 to 10, how awesome is the game?
Oh, it's like a 16 or a 17. Yeah. It was, they did, like... There were no missteps. Every beat was right in line with what I wanted it to be. The one complaint I could leverage against it was the third. Well, I don't know if you call it the third act, but there's kind of, the game is divided into four sections.
Yeah, say no more. Yeah.
The third section is kind of self-contained.
Yes.
But I won't talk about that until we can all talk about that in great spoilery depth.
Yes.
So, but multiplayer, man, Naughty Dog has done the impossible, which is to create a team deathmatch in which you are put on a team with random strangers and actually play as a team.
Huh.
It's unfucking believable. Like,
And the way they achieve that is to give you no other option to succeed except having to play on a team.
Yes. Yeah, there is. It is a very different beast. The multiplayer rewards slow, considered play.
Okay. So how is it that you have no other option than to play as a team or on a team?
It's similar to Left 4 Dead, where if you go out by yourself, you're going to get killed by a monster and no one's going to revive you, and then you're going to die alone.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's they also have a bit of a, what is it called, kill confirmed type of mode, where if someone is downed, they can kind of crawl around for a bit until either someone comes and executes them or comes and saves them. So really, it is very difficult to, unless you want to spend a lot of ammo on one kill, which again, this scarcity works really well here, to, you know, kill someone without getting up close and personal. And if you're getting up close and personal with one enemy, chances are their friends are right around the corner. Huh. It's also, you can find, or you can get some silenced weapons, but it is very difficult to kill someone without causing some kind of commotion or giving away your position. And yeah, everyone just kind of tends to roll in packs. So it's always kind of, you see one person and your first reaction is never pop out and shoot. It's like, okay, there's one, where are the others? And how am I positioned? Where are my teammates? And you know, all that stuff. So it's great. I've really enjoyed it.
Okay. So you call it team deathmatch, but are you playing against other survivors, or is it like a horde mode kind of thing? Because you just invoked a couple of different ideas here.
Yeah, well, how would you describe it?
It's two teams. It's two groups that are in the game. So just think of it as I don't know a good analogy. I don't know, maybe two different races from Mass Effect or something. I don't know if you're. It's comparable to that.
There's a story reason for them to be fighting each other.
Okay. So we're avoiding this because okay.
Trying to give as few details as possible.
Understood. Okay.
But I think one mechanic that we should bring up is the marking system.
Yeah.
So one thing is, at any time if you see somebody, if you press R3 on your controller, it'll mark that person. And so your character will say something like, there's so-and-so or whatever. And everyone else on the team will have a red arrow come up on their map where they can see where that person is for a few seconds. So that adds to it too, where you're moving very cautiously around the map. You're not just running around. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because if someone spots you, you're in the open for the entire rest of the team. And so, so it's a game that very much rewards cautious movement, staying together, and then killing from afar almost.
The fact that there is an upgrade path for your marking ability tells you something about where the priorities of the multiplayer lie.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. So, yeah. I'm having a lot of fun with that. I feel like I'm just starting to get my sea legs under me. Ben, you've talked on previous episodes about the kind of little Tamagotchi game they've got going on in the background.
Yeah.
Did you connect yours to Facebook?
I did not, no.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Okay.
So
are your survivors your friends?
Exactly, yeah, but it pulls in like their pictures and everything. I get little notices when my mother-in-law goes out to hunt rabbits. Where, you know, my friend from high school is just died from sickness because I failed to bring home enough supplies. I'm like, I'd never like that guy anyway. So, you
know, oh, no.
It's just like it's probably out of character with the overall tone of the game, but it's just really hilarious to get, you know, Jack high school friend is building a chicken coop.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. You go, Jack.
go you.
Yeah. So that's very amusing between rounds to keep tabs on. It's like a very, very rudimentary Sims.
Right.
It's like Cole's FTL.
Yeah.
Oh man, don't say FTL. I'm gonna start playing it. Nobody
but
wants
that's,
that.
That's where all my attention has gone. I'm in the middle of Artorias of the Abyss, the DLC for Dark Souls, and I need to finish it, but I have been sucked away by The Last of Us multiplayer.
Neat.
Yeah. And Ben, I want to play online, but I'm afraid to start playing in parties because the teamwork, like I said, people actually work as a team when you're just in random groups. I can't imagine the coordination that happens when you're actually playing group versus group of people who are intentionally together.
Yeah.
So, That'll be some next level junk right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to try that out sometime this week. So.
Yep. I need to find my headset. I found an extension cord, like a USB extension cord, which I'm excited about because I can actually sit on my couch now while playing the game if I want to have my headset in. But I've seemed to have lost my headset. So. Once those come together, I will be ready to go. But until then, I will be kind of your silent partner in crime.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else, Dennis?
Let me think. Not really. Some like very vanilla mobile stuff, but mostly The Last of Us.
Okay. Huh. How about you, Ben?
Yeah. So I've only had one game this last week, and it is Dishonored. I was able to dig a little bit deeper into it.
Thanks for you know, fixing that blind spot in our groups.
That was a motivating factor for why I bought the game. It's like, man, someone's got it. But I mean, David did get it, but I guess he didn't get too far. So,
yeah, I own it.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember you talking about it because you bought it like the week it came out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm only a couple missions in.
You know, Cole, it would be cheaper to just write Dishonored on an index card.
I know. But then I have it.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm still learning kind of all the structure of the game, but it's pretty interesting. So it's similar to a Hitman type game where you'll have to go into a location, kill somebody, and like leave, you know, silently or whatever. I'm on the second mission right now, the second like main mission. So I've only done one real assassination, but it was excellent. Like it was the part where you kill the person is right up there with Hitman as far as caliber of giving you many different choices and having it be equally rewarding for how you play.
Right.
And I know one of the things they try, or I think one of the claims of the game is you can go through the entire game without killing anybody, even your targets. You can somehow take them out of the picture.
You just ruin their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. You emotionally kill them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was very impressed with the first mission. One of the interesting things about the game is instead of it being like Hitman, where each mission's at a different location, could be a different part of the world or whatever, it seems like this one takes place in the same location each time, but you kind of explore a different part of it.
Yeah, it's the same city, Dunwall, right?
Yeah. And so the cool thing about that is they track what you do each mission, and then that'll affect the city. So the more people you kill, the more rats that are around the city, because they'll eat the bodies or whatever.
Yeah.
And so basically... Oh, huh. So basically, like the clumsier you are with play, the more you like kill people, the darker, quote unquote, the city gets, and the more stealthily you are, you know, the more happy the city is, I guess.
Yeah,
it's kind of an interesting way to do it. So I thought that was cool the way they track that. So that's been pretty interesting to play. Yeah.
What do you think of the powers?
They're okay. There's not like a power that they have that it's like, oh, I need to get that as soon as possible. Like there are two that were pretty interesting. I've gotten them both already. And so I think the rest of the time it'll be, you know, a fleeting interest of me, you know, like looking at each of the ones. But the powers that I unlocked already are ones that are mostly for how you navigate the place. Mm-hmm. So I upgraded this one power called Blink, which is how you jump from one part of the map to another.
Yeah, yeah, you Nightcrawler. You bamf from place to place.
Yeah, and that's a pretty cool game mechanic. But
how does it work? Just like, what's the controller input to
so
do
you it hold more? You hold L1, mm-hmm. and the spot where you will warp to will come up, and so it has a range to it, so you can kind of look around. You can connect it. You can, if you put it over a ledge, it'll indicate that with like an up arrow. So you'll jump to the ledge and then automatically climb up. Mm. And yeah, and so you just look around to where you want to warp to. You let go of L1 and you warp there. And you can cancel with a square if you're in the middle of it.
Right.
But yeah, that's totally fun. It really opens up the world and it's nice. So yeah, so I like that feature. However, kind of kind of screws them over in a sense, because they have to close in the map then, because you can literally go anywhere. So so there's some things that are kind of like artificial restraints that they have there. Like they'll have these like vertical billboards up in positions so that you can't jump through like an alley or something.
That's better than invisible walls, but
I suppose so. Yeah. But you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, it's not, you know, if like the feature opens up a lot of options, but at the same time, then they have to like make a lot of restrictions to have you have that, you know, it's kind of a, whatever.
To make it so it doesn't immediately break.
I'm trying to think of what game does boundaries the best.
Journey was really good.
Yeah, Journey was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, good point.
Just gets windy. Arkham Asylum and City are really good. Where it was better in Arkham Asylum, where if you'd fall down a hole or whatever, you'd just backclaw up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's I guess that's more a way to explain away death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a hard loading screen.
What is it in City? If you fly out of the boundaries, then the Joker sets off the bombs or whatever?
As far as it goes with the cities, what happens is you'll land in water eventually, and then it'll just cut scene to him climbing out of the the water. So that one isn't as cool as Arkham Asylum. Whatever. So I think probably the highlight for the game will be their assassination missions and how you play that. The characters, I mean, I'm starting to warm up to the style of the city. And just the style of I wish David were here because I could ask him what kind of punk it is as far as like steampunk or diesel punk or whatever.
It's whale punk.
Pretty much, yeah. That's one of the cool things about it is every like they have whale ships, like ships that run on whales.
Wait, you're serious?
I'm dead serious, yeah.
This is not a bit.
Nope.
No, it's not a bit, but it's like cool too. Like it's very much like 1800s like literature, like Moby Dick or whatever, but as if they just stuck with it and like kept with that lifestyle, and that became a dominant feature of their culture.
A whale-based economy.
Yeah, it's like a whale-based culture.
Yeah, well, that explains the subtitle. Weren't you ever curious why they call it Dishonored, a whale of a tale?
That one must have not made it into the American translation.
No.
They instead stuck with the great title of Dishonored.
Yeah,
but
that's like Jack 2 in Europe had Renegade as a subtitle. Okay.
Man.
What person looks at a title like that and is like, something's missing. Something. Is, oh, no, I got it. : Renegade. Perfect.
Jack 2, Renegade Rising.
Yeah.
I feel like subtitles are like a bad idea like 90% of the time.
Jack,
you know?
Jack 3 Origins.
Yeah. So I'll play that more. I think the assassination parts will be the high points. So
are you taking pains to be nonviolent?
I'm doing the best I can, but I'm not getting too hung up about it. That's the one thing that's kind of a bummer is like with Hitman, you can kind of like go back to missions and like perfect each mission at your leisure. But with this one, you're kind of stuck with it. So I made some choices the first mission that I'm not proud of, and I'm stuck with it. So
yeah,
yep.
So I don't want to. So Gary will probably be mad at me for blowing up the spot, but we're doing that this fall for Watch Out for Fireballs as one of our modern day games.
Oh, your wolf game?
Yeah. Watch Out for Lens Flare. So
nice,
cool. Yeah, I'm excited to see how your playthrough turns out. You guys, mind if I go?
Yeah,
I think you're the only one left.
I think so. Wow. And then there was one. So I've got two. I'll start with the big one. Prison Architect.
Really?
Yeah. No, this is a really, really good game. It is an early access alpha on Steam. It's one of the ones I was complaining a little while ago about the notion of paying for a game before it's like released. You know, and I pointed out Prison Architect as being the most egregious example because they're wanting $30 for it. However, I picked it up on the Steam sale when it was on like half off or whatever. I picked it up, and then somebody was like, "Oh man, I was gonna gift that to you, but you know, it seems like you picked it up." So people notice when we complain about the prices of things.
I really don't like the price of a PS4. That really bugs me.
Wink. Yeah. But no, it is really good. So the premise, it's less like architecture, and it's more have you guys ever played like Theme Hospital?
No.
Theme Park?
No.
Sim City?
I've heard of this.
I've heard of this one. I know this one. Yeah.
I got it.
So you start out, you have a limited amount of funds, and you are kind of like tasked with like, hey, you have 8 prisoners showing up. You need to build a holding cell, a kitchen, like a canteen, like a cafeteria, and a warden's office. Get to it. And you do that, and they show up, and they're all in kind of this holding cell. And then once you're through that, you have you file for grants, and you get money to kind of build out and make cells and hire guards and make sure that there are no riots or escapes, which I am very poor at.
All the riots and escapes.
Yes, every single. I just press that button. Give them all to me.
It's like, how long until I can do Arkham City Architect?
Yeah. So it looks really cartoony. Like, I wouldn't say the graphics are that good. It has a distinct style, but it looks kind of like a Flash game. Like, the characters look kind of like little Fisher-Price tiny people. You know, like those toys.
I have a question.
Yeah. They're cute murderers.
Yeah. Are you role-playing this as James Lipton?
No, I'm just the regular warden. I'm not the new warden. No, I'm role-playing it as the warden from Shawshank.
A lot of pies going through that prison.
But you can build special facilities. Like, you hire an accountant who can help you go through the bureaucracy in order to like get different things. So like you open up like medical facilities in order to cure people after beatings and whatnot, including your guards. You can get like psychiatrists, people to tend the grounds, things like that. Different facilities. You can put in visitation rooms, metal detectors, solitary. There are size limits on how small a regular cell can be, but there are no size limits on how small a solitary cell can be. I still give them more room than they need. but that kind of speaks into a little bit of this, because this is a dark, dark game.
Really?
It's incredibly dark. For as cartoony and goofy as the graphics are, the tutorial, you step into a fully built prison, and that's funny because it actually is kind of like Shawshank Redemption. You are tasked with building an execution chamber for somebody who murdered his wife while she was cheating on him. He came home and just kind of like, and it's the only like story heavy bit that there is. It's the only story in the game, really. Just kind of like setting this up, and it walks you through like, okay, here's how you build the building for it. Here's how you buy the object to put into, to put in there. By the object, I mean the electric chair. Here's how you hook up the power. Here's how you hook up the water. Here's how you hire the staff. Here's how you move prisoners, et cetera, et cetera. And it kind of walks you through this visual comics kind of style story as you go through and get that stuff there. Which isn't to say that it doesn't have like a sense of humor. Like, the item descriptions are kind of funny. Like, when you go to buy a toilet, the little flavor text tooltip description says like, they say, these things are a human right if you believe those nut jobs. So it's funny because my whole family works in corrections mostly. Or at least law enforcement. So talking to them about playing this game, it's like, why would you do that? But yeah, I've had, so just in terms of stories, because, you know, this kind of game makes stories. First off, my first real big play session was yesterday. I had, like, dabbled into it a little bit before, but I turned it on, and then it was 5 hours later, and then I went to bed because I had a meeting early in the morning. just these kind of, like, little system-building optimization games really speak to me in a way, right? Mm-hmm. But I built my first one, and I forgot that you had to put a locking door on the front of your prison.
details.
All my prison, the guard opened up the door to get the to let some prisoners into the holding cell, and they're like, "Later, boners!" And like, they just like ran away. It's like, okay, let's try that again. So I built it again, and I was like knocking stuff out to put in the power lines. I accidentally knocked down the wall and unpaused it before I issued the command to rebuild it. So I had like this string of like five failed prisons before I was like, okay, let's go ahead and make this thing work. But it's really okay. So I feel like I'm dominating the conversation here, but I cannot overstate how dark it actually is, because like any one of these games, you're forced to optimize, right? You're forced to, okay, how can I skimp on the expense of running this place, the expense of building it, in order to maximize profit, because that's what everything is about in this. It's about profit. Mm-hmm. It's about getting federal grant money and running it and keeping as much as you can.
First step, dehumanization.
Pretty much, yeah. So, like, you find yourself like, well, technically my save capacity is like 10 because I've built 10 cells. And I get money for every prisoner that comes in. So, like, I can just make the holding cell bigger. And, like, those 30 people can share that toilet, right? You know, notwithstanding the fact that every time a guard goes in there, he gets fucking jumped. You know, just because of how awful it is. And it's like, well, that's not good. So you find yourself building better accommodations, not because it's the right thing to do, or not because it would be the right thing to do, but because it's kind of like, okay, we need to stop paying out lawsuits to these people's families.
It's too expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like you said, Ben, exactly. It's dehumanization. I think that's like part of the greater purpose of it, too. Like the statement that it's trying to make, which is just kind of like, here's how gross it is when you take something that is human lives that you have complete and utter control over and try and, optimize it. Right.
So how do you deal with the fact that people have sentences of, call it 50 years, and do you just have that one guy who's been here forever?
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't really manage it. In fact, I'm not quite sure how you release people. I've looked it up. I think that's a feature that they're adding later, but I have people who are several days beyond their actual sentence that are like wandering around in the darkened halls because I haven't added power to that wing of the cell block.
Oh, man. Yeah. So you meant it was literally dark, not figuratively dark.
Yeah, no. yeah. So, but you like you're building it in state. Right. Like you're building it as things are going along. And like if there are riots, like the people who are building it they're not going to want to go work on that stuff. So like but you're building, you're expanding it. So there will be fewer uprisings or violent incidents. So it's kind of like this weird little like circle as like, man, I don't know. I wish I would have figured out how to turn off the flow of prisoners sooner, because I'm in way over my head, guys. Help.
I've been losing sleep.
They're all so mad at me.
They're coming to get me.
I didn't put them here. I just made here as awful as it could be. Yeah. So do you guys have any questions about it?
Well, that's interesting as far as like instead of like openly criticizing like a position, instead of just giving you a simulator of what the position would be like and saying, here, like, what do you think of it having gone through this experience?
I'm sure that the people, that there are lots of people. I'm not casting aspersions on the entire corrections industry. There are good people who work in that, but just like in general, the American prison system is kind of fucked. So
is there a win condition?
No, it's, I mean, it's that they were smart in that they put in these grants. So like when you open it up, you build out your, you know, your first couple of things, and you do that like, you know, on the command of the CEO, just like a letter saying, hey, it's probably a good idea to do this because your prisoners are on the way. And that gets you started. But then you have like a quest system in that you file for grants. So you pick the basic detention center kind of grant, and they give you a little bit of money up, you know, up front. And then you get a little bit of money when you finish it. But it's like, okay, build a yard. Build, you know, a couple of actual cells. Don't just make everybody, like, piss into a trough or something. You know, build a shower, stuff like that. Just, like, the bare minimum in order to be, like, an actual detention center. And then you get the rest of that. And then that kind of branches out. It's going to be a little bit more full-featured in the actual final version of the game. So that's kind of a win condition, but the win condition is really just kind of like building out to the maximum space and putting in as many different features and going down this bureaucracy tech tree in order to unlock different abilities, like, you know, closed circuit surveillance or, you know, prisoner work programs where you can actually make prisoners into like janitorial staff or have them pound out license plates or whatever.
Hmm. Yeah. So what happens if you like go broke or like run out of money or owe money?
I'm not sure. I haven't gotten to that point yet. I'm really low on funds right now, but I have not dipped down below. I think that like anything, you can't spend more than you have. Or if you like, if you unlock accountants, you can go into debt, but like it works in some kind of interest or something like that. So I don't think going bankrupt actually like makes you lose. I think it just makes it hard to actually grow.
Can you imprison your debtors or accountants?
No, I don't think you can imprison your, you can make people who are your prisoners accountants.
No, okay.
Yeah.
So very much like Shawshank Redemption.
No, that was just a Shawshank joke. I thought that's what you were alluding to. No, I don't think you can build a debtor's prison. I think that you can like frame your creditors. No, that's not even a true either. I'm just lying now.
Corrupt prison editor.
This game sounds awesome. I'm going to get it right now.
Oh, man. Yeah. So like, and it's cool because they're at like, it's still under active development. So you're getting to like watch the, you know, watch as things are being, you know, put in and fixed. And their patch notes are really funny too. Just kind of like naked prisoners will no longer try to escape or something like that. That's just an example, an unfunny example off the top of my head. But, you know, this is like alpha patch 12 that we're on, and they added in like a whole new system, which is contraband. Which is like people will sneak in weapons or keys or lockpicks or things like that. And so all of a sudden you have to put in a security station at the front with a metal detector in order to keep that stuff from happening. And then there's like an advisor system where you can hire, you know, somebody who's like a security expert who can tell you like where the high risk areas are, like what kind of stuff you should be looking for. Are there weapons, drugs, blah, blah, blah. It's like a whole new system that they just put in with a patch.
Hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
They ruined my life with a patch.
This is a kind of got that Minecraft vibe where you kind of get in on the ground floor and then they just keep on doing cool stuff with it.
Kind of, yeah. I think that like I understand the model now. I was initially taken aback by the price point, which admittedly is high, but like I could see getting a lot more value than $30 out of it. So I feel kind of like a piece of shit for criticizing them for charging what this thing was worth. Oh, man.
It's all right. There's forgiveness to be had.
I'm sure.
You bought it.
You just have to serve your sentence.
That's your penance.
Yeah.
Wah.
Wah. Yeah. Any other questions about that?
No, it sounds cool.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Try and make a Morgan Freeman character.
That was funny too, though, wasn't it?
What's that you said? Dennis?
Which one?
I said that was one of two, wasn't it?
Yes, that was one of two. The other one, so all of my couch gaming has been taken up by Final Fantasy VII, playing that for WoF. I made a like just like minuscule progress in The Last of Us. I would say what set piece I just did, but I don't want to spoil it. I would just tell you guys my world was turned upside down.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yep. There we go.
Nice.
So yeah. So that is kind of there. However, I have been kind of over the past couple of weeks chipping away at a game on my iPad. Ben, I believe that you play this. It was part of a Humble Bundle, Night Sky. It is a like a puzzle platformer kind of thing, except you play as a ball, like a sphere, and you're rolling around. It's got this cool little like silhouette kind of art style.
Is the circle pretty? And yes. Does it look like there's a universe inside?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I played this like a long time ago.
Yeah. I remember you speaking about it. But yeah, I've been playing that. It works really, really well on the iPad. So it's like physics puzzle kind of stuff. You know, you're managing your momentum and trying to navigate these side-scrolling levels. It controls real well on the iPad. The faster and like longer and more you swipe, kind of the faster you roll, and you have to manage your momentum and do these little tricky maneuvers. It's like a 2D Marble Madness kind of thing, except without the active threats. And they vary it up enough to keep it interesting. So you have like these different apparatuses, or like in some levels you're not controlling the ball itself, you're controlling the rotation of platforms, things like that. And they change it around in a lot of like really neat ways. I love the aesthetic of it. It's like a silhouette kind of style, like I said, with these kind of like broad color field backgrounds. The music is really good. It's nice and soothing. Actually, it's the soundtrack of that is one of the ones I've been listening to for a while at work for like productivity kind of music, along with like Machinaria, Murdir Esther.
Where do you go to get those, by the way? Is it just through Steam? They have stuff available, or
like a bunch of them. If you've bought any of the Humble Bundles, oftentimes you get the soundtracks as part of them.
Ah, yes. Okay.
So that's where a large number of mine have come from. Otherwise, I go to iTunes.
Yeah.
And just buy them, because that's how you roll. see, because it's about a game where you play a thing. So I got to the end of all of the maps that I saw, right? All these levels. And then you get to the final like realm, and it's like, okay, go and find these hidden stars. And it's like, oh, normally this wouldn't be the kind of thing that I do. I think these, you know, backtracking things are kind of bullshit. However, it's kind of cool. So I'm finding myself going back just so I can see how everything kind of concludes. Yeah. I like it. It works well. It's nice to play a couple of stages on your iPad in bed.
Nice.
That's cool.
As you go to sleep. And that's what I've been grinding on.
That's crazy. Because, like, yeah, I guess I played that game so long ago. I don't know. That's weird. I had forgotten about that game.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you liked it, but I guess you didn't if you forgot about it.
I'm sorry. Well, I guess it wasn't as impactful. You know, it's hard to make like an emotional association with a ball.
I guess it's not emotional. It has like a couple of like little slides at the beginning and end, but it's completely inconsequential. I dig the aesthetic so much that it kind of stuck around for me. So like even though I knew that I had it on PC, I knew I would never play it on there because it doesn't run on Mac. And so like when it popped up on iPad for $3, it was like, oh, let's go for it.
Word.
Nice.
Yeah. So. Multiplayer?
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer where you level back. What? So this week, it's free play.
It's time to level down.
You level your questions at us.
Yes. That's much better. Okay, let's retake that, except you guys laugh like it was mine. No. So... So this week is free play, which is our roughly monthly installment of this, where we ask you to ask us stuff.
Because we're lazy.
Well, no. It's like we don't do like a regular letters segment, although if you want to write letters into us, it's, you know, duckv.tv/contact. This is our chance.
I will do a dramatic reading of anything you send that is a paragraph.
Oh, or no. Less. Don't do that. I, Dennis, do solemnly give my power of attorney.
Paragraph or left.
So,
how much damage can you do in a paragraph? All right, go on.
I think giving away your power of attorney is probably. Yeah. So, okay, repeat after me. Ben, what's Jeffrey say?
Geolaw says, what is the best game you'll never play again? I have to ruminate on this one.
Yeah, so I'll start probably EverQuest circa 2002. Oh shit! They have that Mac version. Okay, so I'm going to go to my serious answer, which is the further I get out from it, I can't see myself replaying The Walking Dead.
Really?
I can't. Like, I will play any Walking Dead stuff that comes out after this. My save files are in Steam Cloud. They will be there for the foreseeable future. You know, at least until the next whatever comes out. And I can't trust myself to go back and make different choices, or I just don't want to see myself. I don't want to go back and see the scenes, right?
Hmm. Yeah.
Not even. I guess you could say that would ruin the illusion of choice that you've had.
I suppose. Yeah. I know. Even more so than going through and reading spoilers and looking at like how different stuff shakes out and hearing other people's experiences, going back and having it be like this weird dream version of like it was kind of that scene, but not really the way that I experienced it the first time.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, how about you, Dennis?
I'm actually furiously trying to load up Gamefly.com to look at all the games that I have gotten out through that. There were two that came to mind. The first one being Fallout 3.
Okay.
Simply because, well, one, it's just a huge investment to get through that opening dungeon. and once you know everything that's going on, it's kind of really tedious. And I also lent it to a friend and never got it back. So that's I could never see myself going out and actively getting another copy of it to start again when the price of entry is so high, you know?
Hey, speaking of that, I know a good game I'll never play again. Saints Row the Third. Sorry.
I walked into that one.
It's been a couple of episodes since we drew attention to it. So. Okay.
No, that was good. I can't even. I'm not even mad. That was good.
what reason do you have to be mad? You have the game.
Oh man. The only game that I can think of through Gamefly off the top of my head is Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Okay.
Which is, this is probably going to send you into rage mode, it's the only Castlevania game I've ever played. Okay. And it was my first platinum trophy. So I can say I really like every Castlevania game I've played, but I can tell you nothing about what the whole Metroidvania thing is about. So it's this weird thing, but yeah, it was my first platinum, and that, you know, obviously means I thought it was really good, especially when I was renting the game and had to forego playing another game to keep it out long enough.
That's an opportunity cost.
Yeah, but I don't foresee myself ever, because I didn't own it and I don't have a copy on me now, actively going out to get it again.
Yeah, I could see that. How about you, Ben?
All right, I think mine is going to be Shadow of the Colossus. I don't foresee myself playing it again, just because I know every time I play it, it ages more and more. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, this was so much more beautiful in my memory than it is now.
What about the HD version?
I have not played that one yet.
Yeah.
I imagine it only does so much.
Yeah. I have it. I want to go back and play it, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
But... That's going for more of, that's probably one of the best games that I've played in a long time, and I probably won't play that again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just like, you especially have played it so many times.
True. I beat all the time quests.
Yeah, I was there.
You're a crazy man.
Yeah. Moving on here, Nick Basile. I'm so sorry I don't know how to pronounce your name, and you have a Finn avatar. Come on, man.
That's awesome. That's mathematical.
Algebraic. He says, favorite video game Halloween costume? Go! I think he turned into a ghost at the end there.
No, it's Goo. He really liked playing it. So.
Yeah.
The main character from Gish is Goo. He went as that last year.
Mm, yeah. He had to get dissolved in a bathtub. So, yeah.
I did Mario Kart specifically with a group of friends last Halloween. It was phenomenal because we all dressed up as Mario characters, but then we each taped three helium filled balloons in the correct colors to the back of our, you know, our belt loops.
That's pretty good.
And so we made it probably three quarters of the way through the night without, you know, anyone popping a balloon. And then it just, like, it was one of those things where, you know, the first person popped their balloon and it was funny, and then it just became a war and we tore the house apart. Like, we you know, there was obviously alcohol involved, and so we had bottle caps, and bottle caps are great, you know, little things that you can claw with at a balloon and work really well for popping it. But, you know, if you miss and get someone's face, they're also very good for clawing people's faces. And it got a little batshit insane. That's, and everyone crazy. Else who was not a Mario character, I think, was a bit frightened.
But, as they should be.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a pretty good set of costumes.
Yeah.
I would say anybody who makes a pyramid head costume does a pretty good job. Those are usually pretty impressive.
Yeah, I will go out of my way to look at pictures of those. Also, the nurses as well. There's some good nurses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, people who do theater tech, they do awesome, like, you know, just like any kind of, like, theater study, they do awesome, like, costumes like that. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was in second grade, I think, I went to Sub-Zero for Mortal Kombat.
Nice.
Yeah. Which I think, and there may be pictures of it, I'm not sure, I'd have to go look, but I think it was just like the black sweatpants, a black hoodie, some kind of like blue sheet, and then a blue washcloth like safety pin to the front of the hoodie.
Nice. Mask. Like,
yeah, but second grade, ripe old age of 7, going as a Mortal Kombat character.
I bet you were the coolest person there.
Kind of, I think.
I really hope there is photo evidence. I would love to see that.
Yeah. I forget if I had my mullet at the time or if I had my buzz cut.
Or my rat's tail.
Well, I just picture you as, who was the oldest child from Home Improvement?
I forget. I think that was he the one
Jonathan who, Taylor Thomas.
Was he the one who went straight Jizo? Oh no, he's the one who got into drugs. It's the young one who was like all like Kirk Cameron now.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. Him, he always had the mullet or the rat tail.
Yeah, yeah. No, I never had the rat tail. I did have a mullet for a long period of time. Yeah. Yeah.
What's up, Mansfield?
So Dennis, Christopher.
Yeah, Chris Schley says, what is the funniest game that you've ever played? I feel like I need more hilarious games in my life, especially on days where work trips away at my soul. Yeah, I've been there. I'm sure I've played some of them, especially if you go the LucasArts route, but I don't care. Give me some laughs. Well, aside from Cole's always unique laughter that graces our ears. Ben, we need to practice our laughs, apparently. Also, if you partake in booze, what is your poison of choice as a backup in case I've already played the comedic games you mentioned? And go.
There's a lot of ceremony around this. Yeah. So let's give our funny game and also our booze.
Okay. I can go first. Mm-hmm. So I would say Saints Row the Third is one of the few games that has made me like laugh aloud many, many times while I was playing. So if you haven't played that, you should check it out. Also, yeah. That's on the Humble Bundle right now.
Yes,
so,
true.
So if you want to catch up before the fourth one comes out.
Speaking of that, you out there, and you know who you are, the especially cool person, hit me up on the contact. You know who you are. Just email me. Okay? Do that. That's cryptic. Go ahead. Go.
All right.
I like it. This is some like Indigo Prophecy shit going on here.
Like if you think that you should email me about this thing, you should probably do it. Go.
All right. Booze of choice. I would say stout, a strong, hearty stout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. How about you, Dennis?
I thought of two. Rayman Origins is really, really funny just in the whole aesthetic of the game. And then Matt Hazard, or I guess it's Eat Lead, The Return of Matt Hazard, is a decidedly like C-level game, but it's voiced by Will Arnett, and it actually had me laughing at several points. So go in with very low expectations, but it's kind of cool to have Will Arnett narrating you with his wonderful witticisms.
True.
Yep, and then beer of choice, or I guess he just says booze.
Yeah.
What's in my fridge right now is Fat Tire.
Damn, son.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I love me some Fat Tire. And then just overall, I'm a fan of margaritas. If you ever find yourself in Cincinnati, go to Bakersfield Gourmet Tacos and some of the best margarita I've had.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Oh man, Bakersfield, that's like downtown, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in OTR. OTR that is having a major comeback.
True.
Everyone listening, Cincinnati is on the up and up. You guys got to get here.
We did a video for the Chamber of Commerce actually at my work. Really? That's really good.
This is how good it's getting. I saw tourists the other day.
I saw tourists. People are always here for like the Freedom Center and stuff though.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a lot of cool shit. Come check us out.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Come check us out. We'll have to do like some kind of meetup sometime. We'll express interest in that. At a local bar or something. So I'll go ahead and do mine. You know, the usual suspects, there's like, you know, there's a lot of funny games a lot of people know about. I'll go with one that's
also a funny movie.
What? Funny games, yeah.
Oh, funny movie. No.
The Usual Suspects?
Oh, I thought you were talking about funny games.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Usual Suspects is awesome. Love that movie.
Yeah.
But I'll go with kind of a pair of lesser-known ones because they're kind of in a series. You buy them together on Steam for like $5 or something like that. The first one's called Ben There, Dan That, and the second one is called Time Gentlemen, Please. Or Time Gentlemen, Please.
I've heard of the second one, but I've never heard of the first one.
Yeah. So the first one is kind of like their proof of concept, that kind of like, hey, we'd like to make an adventure game. It's quirky. It's kind of British in that the two guys who make it and also are the stars of it are from, you know, Britannia itself. They're really funny, pretty crass, but in terms of like good adventure game kind of writing, really good. The second one, as this name would suggest, Time Gentlemen, Please, plays with like time travel in a really kind of cool way. In that it brings back Hitler with, you know, robot dinosaurs. It's funnier than it sounds. Like it kind of like when I describe it like that, I recognize that it sounds like monkey cheese or whatever, like LOL random hot topic.
Bionic Commander did it first.
I suppose. Yeah. But it's real funny. It's goofy. And it's really cheap. Like, I think on the Steam sale, it was like 50 cents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. As Gary said, if you don't like it, we owe you a third of a Coke. So, yeah.
Or half of a Coke, fuck you.
Yeah. So for booze, I'm going to do my usual thing and give like a multivarious answer here. In general, like seasonal beer. So whatever is seasonal from either Great Lakes, which is a local brewery here. Good luck getting that if you're anywhere else. But like Sierra Nevada distributes it nationally. Like Sam Adams has some pretty good seasonal stuff, even though they're pretty big. I just dig whatever. So like we're going into Oktoberfest season now. We just left summer beers with all the shandies and whatnot, and then winter. Winter beer time is good.
And pumpkin ale is right around the corner.
True. I'm not a big fan of the pumpkin beers, but I do not begrudge anybody their love of pumpkin flavored things.
They're good for the first, call it two, and then it's like I need a year before I'll really enjoy it again.
Yeah, but seasonal beers, they're good. Just if you're looking for variety, and generally if you go to whatever like supermarket you go to is going to have a bunch of them. So, yeah. And
how did the Brooklyn Brewery not show up on there?
Oh, you know what? You're right. I just like kind of assume that like Brooklyn Brewery is like up there with like, you know, Kristen Moorline here in Cincinnati, and just kind of like. In general, there is usually going to be some of that. Like, if it's not one, it's the other. It's going to be at my house. So it's hard to say that. In terms of liquor, go ahead.
Oh, can I make one interjection while we're on the topic of beers?
Yes.
Bell's and Founders are two breweries that I desperately miss not being in Cincinnati anymore.
You forget how local they are.
They're so good.
Yeah, Bell's, but both Bell's and Founders. Oh my gosh, I had a two-hearted at a pub this past weekend. It was delicious. I realize how mean that is to say now that I've said it.
It's all right.
Yeah, David is coming back to Cincinnati. I don't understand why you can't.
We have a casino here.
Thanks, Mom.
Jeez. Bleh. But in terms of liquor, I like me some Maker's Mark. That is really good. Try to have that around. And in terms of other things like a cocktail, I like a paleo margarita. I'm not paleo, but this is a very nice drink. It is tequila, juice of a whole lime, and top it off with soda water. And it's delicious. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. How's it different from a regular margarita?
It doesn't have a bunch of sugar water in it, honestly. There's like no, it's like basically sugar free, aside from the sugars that are in both the alcohol and the lime. So,
all right.
Yeah. And there's no like triple sec, like a margarita. I don't understand a margarita. It's a toxic brew, which I enjoy. I enjoy greatly. Dennis, do you do frozen or do you do on the rocks?
Frozen when I can get it. Margarita is like my dessert drink.
Okay.
It's a very guilty pleasure.
Yeah, they make me sick with all the sugar. So.
Yeah, you definitely have to have a high tolerance for that.
Yeah. So, yeah, but not a lot of stuff about games, a lot of stuff about alcohol.
Thanks for triggering the booze question.
Yeah. No, it was good. It's a conversation worth having. Let's see.
Deep enough into the archives. Well, I guess back to the other show's archives, and we have we always did what you've been drinking. So.
Yeah, or what are you drinking or something like that. Yeah,
it's probably like Smirnoff.
You're welcome.
No, don't say that. I'm gonna have a flashback.
I realized that when I was in Las Vegas, I totally told Jen on the way out, like, okay, we need to find an opportunity to ice Ben, and I completely forgot while I was there. So you dodged a bullet.
Thank you for getting
God. 2011, folks. I guess it was 2010. Oh man, time is a mystery. Let's see here. Ben, how about Murph?
Yeah. So Murph Murphy says, which do you prefer? Games that allow you to customize your character for that personal touch, Saints Row in parentheses, or games that use the set character look for narrative purposes, every other game, or what he says is The Walking Dead.
Yeah. I don't know, like a character generator is neat, but it's not entirely like necessary to me. Like, it's cool that I got to make my own character in Saints Row and like to dress him up. But like, I don't know if I have the option to get somebody. Well, they're different things. A game that lets you make your own person, you know, look, unless it's Dragon Age 2 or Mass Effect, isn't going to have like a personality attached to that. Mm-hmm. To, you know, a meaningful one. I know that the different voices had different personalities in Saints Row, but like in general, there's not going to be a lot of correlation. So I think that I prefer getting just a character and then being forced to identify with it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we're all going to agree then. I think there is a point of diminishing returns with character creation. So like if you give me enough control over character creation to do so, I cannot resist the urge to not try to make myself.
Right.
And it's never going to look good enough for me to be happy with it. So I would just prefer to never have that option because I can't resist the compulsion and, you know, I'll save myself some time just going with presets. That said, I don't mind, you know, being able to choose from maybe four or five templates or something like that. Yeah. You know, that's fine. But I almost wouldn't consider that character creation with a personal touch to it.
Right. You're not adjusting ear position.
Yeah. God. Yeah. And the number of hours I have spent just muttering under my breath and staring into a mirror and then back at a screen and into a mirror.
Oh, man. That's funny.
It's like American Psycho, but for video games.
Oh, man. How about you, Ben?
Yeah. So I think we're all kind of of the same opinion. I think this is totally a decision that should be made based on the game. So Saints Row, they have customizable characters. That's perfect for the game because they're not trying to convey like a serious storyline. I think a good example of a game that does both of these at once is Last of Us, because The main character, you have no control over. You're playing as the main character. He has a strong personality, and there's a story they're trying to convey with it. So they need to have it, you know, be a certain character.
Right.
And you know, they, you know, take artistic license with, you know, the type of character that they want to create. So that's fine. Like, I think that's good choice. But then on the same time, in the multiplayer, you can customize your own character. And it's kind of like a throwback to Uncharted 2 with kind of the ridiculousness of the customization. You can put, like, cowboy hats on them or, like, things that are not tactically good decisions but are just funny.
Yeah, so, that actually affected my decision-making because there's some really cool hats that I want to do, but I'm like, this is going to stick out if I'm trying to hide. Yeah. I can't wear this.
It's a multiplayer game. Who cares? I don't know. Yeah, so, I mean, I think both choices can be good. Yeah, I think Saints Row the Third is a great example of when customizable characters totally work. Yeah. And I am just floored by the fact that they can do that because, you know, like they're quintupling their work with the amount of voices that they're having, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, well, so that's really impressive they can do that. But if you want to convey a strong narrative, then yeah, you should definitely go with a set character.
Yeah.
But you pay game voice actors in like sandwiches.
They just pull in like interns and then the transients out back down from the rail yards. Yeah. Carlo asks, what's your favorite thing to eat while you play video games? If you are a listener to WAF, you just heard the Watch Out for Interactions episode, which just came out yesterday. As you're hearing this, we answered the same question, so we're not giving anything away. So I will defer to you guys, and then I will reiterate my answer from that.
This is totally like the most cumbersome thing to eat.
Cheetos.
Yeah, right. No, I get like peanut butter and pretzels. And then you, like, you know, take two pretzels and scoop up a little peanut butter and eat that. But that's what always winds up in front of me while I'm playing a video game. But I don't know how, and I don't like the fact that it's there because while it tastes good, that's like a six-step process. Just winds up with me pausing the game a lot and being very, very peanut butter covered.
You know what? I'm just going to sit down for some Last of Us multiplayer and just a little bit of light fondue.
Yeah. I would, but I don't have a fountain.
Really matches the mood of the game too.
Yeah.
I don't really eat while playing video games, or at least I cannot. There's no food type that sticks out in my mind. Mm-hmm. Drinking and playing video games, yeah, I have done before.
See above.
Yeah. My favorite drunk video game story is Fallout 3. Just getting coming home from like a party in college drunk and then playing that and then killing like half the people on Riften.
Oh no. That's pretty good.
You wake up, what have I done?
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. I'm not a big snacker in general. So like for me, it's just kind of like, I'm not going to eat while I play video games. If I do, it's going to be sunflower seeds. Just because you just pop them in your mouth, you know, chew them, and then you just take a, you know, like, okay, I have a moment here, just spit, and then you get on with your day, you know? If I'm going to do any kind
into
of
into a cup, right?
Just onto the floor. The oils are good for the wood. Yeah. So that's mine. I guess I'll occasionally do like a cheese and crackers kind of thing, but you know, but that's because cheese and crackers is the snack of the gods. So,
oh, Jarlsberg.
I just get some pepper jack and cut them up and put them on like a wheat thin.
Pepper. I've never had pepper jack that I don't like.
Oh, that's, I don't understand why there's any other kind of cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I've ever gotten another kind of cheese at Subway.
I know that they exist, but I'm not sure why.
Oh, you haven't tried Jarlsberg.
Okay. Does Jarlsberg make a pepper jack?
That is when we reach the singularity, the cheese singularity. And civilization is apex. There's no point in doing anything.
Cat sleeping with dogs. Singularity. So cheese singularity is currently neck and neck with a Japanese coffin filled with saline and whale song for titles. So, oh man, let's see.
Should I round us out?
Yes, round us out.
All right, Phil Holmes says, what is your least favorite game of this generation or of any generation?
I don't know that I have it in me to be like to hold a grudge against a game.
A generation grudge against a game. I got no problem. It's called The Force Unleashed and it sucks.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one, man. All right. I think the best I can come up with is I played The Saboteur for like maybe an hour and this was when I just got Gamefly and I was like, "Oh, that's going back." So That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Force Unleashed was pretty terrible, though.
I'm going to cop out. I don't have an answer for this.
Boo.
Oh, ending with a disappointment. Yeah. So thank you so much, everybody. Like I said, you know, we welcome these kind of things. If we can get, like, a little backlog, we can do a letter segment every once in a while. But, yeah, fantastic response. Awesome questions. You all rule. Watch the Facebook group. That's facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. I often tweet these out if I have the presence of mind to do that as well. And yeah, so let's we haven't done an end boss in a while. Want to do end bosses?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
The end boss.
Not gonna think of one.
No, gotta think of it.
Oh, damn, sir.
I have art on my podcasting desk now, and I have a podcasting desk now, so that's going to be mine. Oh, okay. I don't know if I told you about these yet. I also have new headphones.
Mm.
Okay.
That I got completely for free. There was like an event that was put on through, you know, my work, and without going into specifics, they, you know, the event required you to have really nice headphones, but we ordered way too many. And so there's just like boxes of these really nice headphones sitting under my desk, but they're all branded with the brand that I work on. So it's kind of, it's kind of weird. I'm sitting here wearing these, branded headphones. But I've got new headphones. I've got a new podcasting desk, and I've got art on that desk.
Neat.
So that's my end boss.
That was your end boss. Okay, cool. How about you, Ben?
I don't know if I have an end boss. Okay. I don't know. I'm specifically like not trying to do anything for like the next 3 months because I've done there's been too much like traveling in the past 3 months. Yeah. And reverse traveling.
Reverse traveling.
people travel to you.
People come, yeah, I was about to joke, but that makes perfect sense.
What he's trying to say is that we broke him.
No. There, you have not been the only ones that have come to visit. So
so slow your roll, mister. Don't feel so angry.
Yeah.
So I'll do mine. I mentioned that I refactored my backlog. It went from one binder clip to three.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
So with the Steam Summer Sale, I decided to add all of my digital purchases, which includes all of Steam and all of GOG.
Oh, God.
So that actually more than doubled the number of cards that were in this thing. And deciding that it didn't make sense. So, like, if I bought, you know, one really long game, you know, between, you know, just like, okay, I have to do like five, like 50-hour games in a row. No way. So I went on to howlongtobeat.com or whatever. I believe that site is. And for each of these games, I got the number for how long it would take to beat them, put them onto the card, along with the system and the, you know, the, roughly the day if I have it or the month that I bought it. They're all in reverse autobiographical order, and they are in three groups: under 5 hours, 5 hours to 23 hours and 59 minutes, and then 24 hours and up.
Nice.
Yeah. So if I want to pick a short game, I've got Ben There, Dan That on here. Although I've beaten that before, I'd like to play it again, so that's in there. That is a 2.5 hour game. After that, you know, I can go over to the bigger stack, which is the mid-range games, and I have The Last of Us on there. It's not the most recent one, but I'm most of the way through it. If I went back in that stack, it would be, Shadowrun Returns, because that is the most recent game of that length that I bought. And then you have the dreaded stack, which has everything, you know, that is above 24 hours, and that is going to be La Mulana, which I got on Steam sale. Yeah.
What kind of game is La Mulana?
It's like a roguelike Metroidvania kind of thing.
So that sounds really cool, but I can't help but point out that in the time you spent organizing all this, you could have probably beaten the game.
I know, right? It is my curse. Yeah.
It's really more his bonsai tree.
Kind of, yeah. So are you guys ready for it? Are you ready for the flip?
Sure. Ooh. No, that was one of three.
No, that was all three at once.
Oh, okay. Wow. That was a very efficient flip.
I know, right? So, yeah, that's my end boss.
Very cool.
Your end bosses.
Symptoms of a mental disorder. So that was level 30. Thank you so much for joining us for this and all the previous ones. If you've been around, we really, really appreciate your continued support. Seriously, if you're listening to this and you know who you are, you're really cool. Email me. Wink, wink. So, yeah.
I'm going to email Cole just in case. Like,
I appreciate all these compliments, Cole, man.
So, what can people do? They can follow us on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or a review. Those are really helpful in getting people to notice us. If you're not of the iTunes persuasion, you can check out Facebook. That's facebook.com/thelevelpodcast, where there's some discussion that happens. And then duckfeed.tv/thelevel, which brings you to everywhere else that you can find everything about us. Is there anything I'm missing, guys?
Other shows?
Yeah, why don't we do that? So Bonfireside Chat, the show about the Souls series of games. We are edging into the Demon Souls season here. That's going to be starting up. Also, Abject Suffering, which is a video game podcast, but it's more of a comedy podcast anyway. It's me and Gary. We do we talk about bad games, and gets very high marks. Not a lot of people listen to it, so we could really use your support on that.
By the way, I did the Home Improvement episode recently.
Yeah,
top notch. Just having a deep history with that show, deep, I really appreciated it.
Deep catalog on Home Improvement.
Oh yeah.
Let's see here. And then watch out for Fireballs. You probably know about that one. Those damn Ross kids. The pitch. It's all real good. There's a lot of content that we've managed to amass here. So you know, we can be your best friends every day of the week. If you would like to support the network, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar. Use the Amazon link. People are out in force on that. That helps defray the hosting costs, etc. This has been a long episode, so I'll cut this stuff short. Why don't we do introductions and Twitter? So this has been Cole Ross. That is Cole Ross on Twitter, at Cole Ross, rather. It's spelled weird, KOLEROSS.
This is Dennis Furia. I am at DFURIA, D Furia on Twitter.
Really emphasize the F-U.
D-F-U.
Right. I spelled my name over the phone because I realized I was saying that to people.
How do you say it then?
F as in Frank, URIA.
Oh, nice. F as in fuck you, RIA. and I am Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
Mm. Yep, you're about due for your 6-monthly tweet.
I have to remember my Twitter name every time we do this.
Yeah. No, your previous one was on March the 23rd. So September the 23rd is when you're due. So I'm just letting you know. I'm like your dentist.
That's right.
I actually did a Ben Twitter history dive yesterday, just on a lark. And you got some good stuff on there, man.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I'm just going to close that because a lot of them are embarrassing about me. All right. So,
only one.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And need I remind you to please return your monitors to the upright position.
One, it's the work of gangs marking the boundaries of their territory. Okay. Two, bullies take them off defenseless kids, then sling them up out of reach as the ultimate taunt. So, yeah, I could see that. Three, gang members create an informal memorial spot where a friend lost his life. Crack dealers festoon wires to advertise their presence in the neighborhood. and here's where it gets good. The shoes increase wire visibility for low-flying aircraft.
Well, we have all of those biplanes.
Yeah. Overly puffed up boys who have just lost their virginity or otherwise passed a sexual milestone look to signal the event to others.
That's crazy.
I wasn't aware that there are sexual milestones that people should be passing.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I don't know. I'm all
sexual walking trail.
Mm. A walking trail. I think that they had those over in Belgium.
There's also, they say, graduating seniors will do it to, like, you know, leave their names behind. And then the final one is kids do it just because it's fun.
Kids do it because they're fucking kids.
Yeah. 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 So my at the gym today, one of my friends was telling me a story of he was on his way home last night and thought, you know, he saw a cop car in the middle of the road and he's like, oh, there must be an accident. And he kind of saw debris in the road and he's like, man, someone's car really got, you know, blown up here. And then he realized that it was a deer in the road. And he's like, oh, man, someone hit a deer. Then he realized that it was like ceramic, you know, decorative deer parts and not an actual deer. Someone had like smashed a decorative deer in the middle of the road.
And then he realized it wasn't a deer. It was a Frisch's Big Boy. And he realized it wasn't, in fact, a physical object at all. It was the concept of God.
Yes, yes. Did I mention that he did LSD right before coming to work out?
Yeah.